Welcome to Music Scene. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and I have discovered an incredible orchestra. I won't call it a community orchestra because it is so much more than that. It is the Pinellas Park Orchestra, a not-for-profit 501c3 founded by Dean Sisson in 1964 as known as First Congregational Church Orchestra. But with me today is a distinguished professor, conductor, Dr. Martin H., and sir, I'm going to have you say your last name for me.
My last name is spelled and pronounced Zegelke.
Well, welcome. And you started with the Pinellas Park Orchestra, Civic Orchestra, as it was called, as assistant conductor in 2018, and now artistic director and conductor since 2020. So let's start off first about what is the Pinellas Park Orchestra.
The Pinellas Park Orchestra is a wonderful community for people of all different backgrounds to come together and rehearse beautiful orchestral music. This is, as you said, a 501c3 organization. Everybody who plays in the ensemble is a non-paid volunteer. Everybody is just part of this just for the fun of the community. We meet once a week on Monday nights for rehearsals, and then we perform a season of a total of 6 concerts throughout the year.
And this concert that is coming up is going to be Thursday, January 15th at 7:30, and Sunday, January 18th at 3 o'clock at what I consider an underrated but fantastic place, the Pinellas Park Performing Arts Center at 4951 78th Avenue North. And admission is free, but of course a donation would be nice, and seating is first come, first serve. So let's start, first of all, with some of the people in the orchestra and what you'll be performing at this concert.
We're really thrilled, since you mentioned it, that we have this incredible, wonderful support from the city of Pinellas Park. They are partnering with us. They are making us kind of their city orchestra in that sense, that they support us. They actually allow us to perform in this beautiful venue, the Pinellas Park Performing Arts Center. It's great and has been a huge asset in the existence of this ensemble, because frankly, if there is no room where we can perform, then we can't perform at all, or it becomes very cost prohibitive in many cases for small organizations like ours. So we're very, very grateful for this wonderful support and this wonderful partnership we have there. For this upcoming concert, we actually perform 4 different selections. We're going to start out with a piece by Strauss. It's called Feierlicher Einzug der Ritter des Johanniterordens. And trust me, the title is not just awkward in German. I think the English translation would be the festive entry of the Knights of the Order of St. John. And the title seems longer than the entire piece. The piece is a small little overture, probably only 6 or 7 minutes long. It is a very beautiful, very festive fanfare opening to the concert. We're going to follow that by 2 slightly smaller selections. One is fairly well known. It's Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Kleine Nachtmusik. Most people are probably familiar with that one. So something that hopefully most people will be able to relate to. The next piece we're incredibly excited about, because that is a true rarity. And it is a concerto. Not that the concerto in itself is a rarity, but solo concerto, most people think, okay, it's probably a violin or a piano or, you know, one of the more common solo instruments. But this particular solo concerto features one of our own. His name is Elliot Large, and he's our principal bass player, and he will actually perform a solo concerto for double bass. So this beautiful large instrument with this gorgeous dark sonority will perform the solo part and the orchestra will accompany. And then we will round out the program. We will end it with an incredibly emotional, passionate, romantic selection, Richard Wagner's Vorspiel and Liebestod from the opera Tristan and Isolde. So hopefully with this wide variety, there's going to be at least something for almost everybody's taste.
I love that you're doing this piece by Wagner, Tristan and Isolde is definitely a great preamble to the Valentine romantic season. So I want to read to you something that you all posted on your social from Elliot Large. He told me, and I did not know this, that the bass was when this concert was written, the bass had four strings, and it was a side part of the orchestra. And he says today the bass is the heart of the orchestra, and he tries to make the bass string in this, and that he actually found his voice with the instrument. So this Capuzzi double bass concerto is actually not using the original string instrument, but what is the current bass. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. While some older instrument makers are still producing the old-fashioned way, they're currently not really in use anymore. And I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but let's just say the modern instrument has much stronger sonorities. It projects a lot better. It is better in tune. It is easier. I shouldn't say easier to play. Every instrument is hard to really master, but it is more ergonomic to play these kinds of instruments. So yes, you will. On a modern string bass, like we know it in every symphony orchestra around the country, perform this bass concerto.
How many musicians do you have in the orchestra?
We currently have around 60 musicians. Again, everybody is a volunteer, and we just get together for the fun of it. But we have all different instruments. We have violins, violas, celli, basses in the string section. And then we have all the winds and brass, so there you will see flutes, oboes, clarinets, bassoon. You will find horns, trumpets, trombones, a tuba. You will find percussion instruments, and namely particularly the big timpani and others. So yes, it's a full symphony orchestra.
You have an amazing background starting out at the Eastman School of Music. You are a professor in music and humanities, USF St. Pete. You've taught other places. What brought you to St. Petersburg, and what made you leave San Francisco, where you were at San Francisco State University?
Well, different opportunities present themselves at different times, and at the time when we moved, our family just had priorities here in the Tampa St. Pete Bay Area, and so from one beautiful Bay Area to the other, we made the move all the way across the country, and we're incredibly happy here. We've been here since 2016, actually, and we enjoy Florida life very much so. It's a lot less traffic than the San Francisco Bay Area, let me tell you that, which I know you know. So that being said, the priority, of course, was moving for our primary jobs, but we were very fortunate, or in my case, I was incredibly fortunate to find the Pinellas Park Orchestra, as well as another wind ensemble in the area too, the Pinellas Wind Symphony, and both of them have adopted me very graciously, and I have this wonderful music outlet here now, which is just really tremendous.
You have people of all different ages in the Pinellas Park Orchestra, and tell me a little bit about that and also the importance of classical music and music in arts education.
You're correct. We have young members who are still in high school, and we have more seasoned members who are in their 80s and are still going strong and enjoying community music making. And it's really a blessing. It makes for a very unique conglomerate of different experiences, different stages in life. And the beauty about making music together as such a group is that really everybody sits down with one communal goal of just making beautiful sounds. I will challenge you to go to any community ensemble. You will not find, I guarantee you, you will not find one single musician who sits down in the middle of a community group and says, I'm going to sound really bad. I'm going to make a bad noise today. Absolutely not. Everybody supports one another, roots for one another. If somebody plays a little solo passage, hopes that it goes well. And it's just such a beautiful team activity. I'm not even going to go into all the beautiful psychology evidence that is out there, all the beautiful research that says, in how many different ways, cognitively and in others, music making is a wonderful, very beneficial activity for any human being. It is just absolutely wonderful. And part of our philosophy as the Pinellas Park Orchestra is to really go for the top literature. Now, we're amateurs, and some of us, you know, have probably never had a lesson. And some of us have had lessons, but high school was maybe 50 years ago. And that is all fine. And everybody can just participate to the best of their abilities. And with that, we have this incredible opportunity to still perform the exact same repertoire that professional orchestras do. Will it maybe be 100% perfect? Well, possibly not. But guess what? The alternative would be to say, well, we are not allowed to play this beautiful, great repertoire, and we shouldn't do that. No, 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 no. That's not what we do. We will do it, and we will immerse ourselves, and we as an ensemble get to live with these great composers, with this gorgeous repertoire for the amount of time that we spend rehearsing it, and we get to share it with our audience for essentially free. Like you said, we love donations, but it is not a prerequisite for you to come. If you cannot afford it, you are always welcome to just sit down, come to our concert, and enjoy. That's just from community members for community members. That's how we do this. And it's just absolutely mind-blowingly beautiful to watch this process.
Folks, if you've just joined me on Music Scene, I'm your host, Annette Weiser, and we are talking to the conductor and artistic director of the Pinellas Park Orchestra. They will be performing at the Performing Arts Center Thursday, January 15th at 7:30 and Sunday, January 18th at 3 o'clock. I want to ask you about your experience growing up and choosing classical music. You obviously grew up in a home with classical music.
Actually, you will be shocked that I didn't.
Really? I am shocked.
I'm the odd person out of my family. My father was actually the first player and then coach of the national team of volleyball in Germany. I grew up in Germany. That's the accent that you're hearing. My mother was Northern German champion in athletics. My sister was big into swimming and volleyball as well. And then there was me, the music guy. I don't really know how that happened, but it was something that always resonated with me. Even when I was a little kid, I just enjoyed it. I remember fondly being a fifth grader standing on my bed while my mom was having visions of me hopefully sleeping. No, I was standing on my mattress conducting along to an LP that my fifth grade music teacher let me borrow and take home of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and I really enjoyed that. So I guess I was just persistent and obnoxious enough to continue to pursue this. I started playing first recorder in kindergarten, then clarinet later, starting in fifth grade, and started playing in community ensembles, played with the German Marine Band for a while, played with several professional orchestras, and then pretty quickly became a conductor, had my own opera company there for a while, a professional opera company, conducted several professional orchestras, and then eventually, through beautiful circumstances, got into university teaching. That was at the University of Bremen at that time, started teaching there in 1999, and have since moved from professional orchestras and opera companies into teaching and university ensembles, which the latter that brought me here over to the United States back in 2003 with several opportunities in this country, and now primarily into community music. And it's been an incredible ride, and I feel very, very privileged to have the chance to do this.
Well, you know, I, of course, know the Eastman School of Music as Chuck Mangione's home base, but for those of you who know about music, getting a PhD, a Doctor of Musical Arts there, is quite prestigious, playing in San Francisco, quite prestigious. And I do think that you've got some of the athleticism, because I see that on your LinkedIn that you are a scuba instructor, a master scuba driver.
I am indeed, yes. I'm a scuba diving instructor. I teach Reiki, and I do way too many crazy things. I'm just one of those people that I might be afraid of being bored. I don't know.
I see you as a Renaissance man. So, folks, we're so delighted that we could talk with the Pinellas Park Orchestra and to meet you. You know, Victor Hulls, of course, from the Florida Orchestra, does our classical scene. And we invite you to come back and talk to us about upcoming performances. So tell us where they might find you online.
You can find us at the Pinellas Park Orchestra website, and I should have been prepared and should have pulled it up.
Well, that's PinellasParkOrchestra.org, right?
Thank you. Yes, it is. I'm always getting confused. Is it .net, .info, .org? But yes, .org. Thank you. Yes, and you will find all of our upcoming performances there. It is, like I said, usually we perform in the Pinellas Park Performing Arts Center. It is free and open to the public. And for those of you listening who actually play one of the orchestral instruments, especially any of the string instruments, particularly string bass, but we're also actively looking for percussionists and some other brass and woodwind instruments as well, harp would also be welcome. So if you think, hey, I would love to be part of this wonderful community, we would love to get to know you, to meet you. And if your Monday evenings are free, please do seek us out, submit a little inquiry through our website, and somebody will get back to you. We would love to make music with you.
This is just wonderful, and we will have all of this, folks, all of the information up on our article that goes with this. Thank you so much for Music Scene. I'm your host, Annette Weiser. Folks, join me. I can't wait to see a little Mozart, a little Capuzzi, a little Strauss, and a little Wagner, but most of all, the Pinellas Park Orchestra. Au revoir.
Thank you.